And I've been thinking about, you know, today and this month and what God has done here in our church. And, you know, 15 years ago, this month is when we started the preview services. 15 years ago, what that means was we did services once a month for about 5 months before we officially launched in March of 2010. We always celebrate March of 2010, but I think about these things. I think about how God has come so far. And I got a friend in Las Vegas who is starting the church this morning, but in their preview service. And we have a mission trip team, a small team, but we have a small team that is in Vegas helping this church do what we did 15 years ago and call the Village Church. And my friend Pastor Brad Balfour, he was here with us last year. And they're in the area in the southern part of Vegas Metroplex, and in an area that 5 years ago there were no homes, no businesses, and in the 5 years it just blew up. And there's no gospel preaching church in that community. There are 30,000-40,000 people that live there. And so this morning the Village Church is launching, and Pastor Chris is there. He texted me this morning, which was about 8, about 8:30 here. He was like, it's 5:30 in the morning, Pastor Scott. We're up, we're ready to go. And we're ready to go to the church about 6:45 a.m. And we're gonna be unloading the trailer, and for the very first time, and Pastor Bradley could be preaching through the sound system for the very first time today, and something beautiful is being started today. And our church gets to be a part of that. We support them financially and help them, this church, get off the ground. And so right now it is 8:22 over there. Church hasn't even started yet. They start church at 10 a.m. We'll be at 1 o'clock p.m. when that would happen. But I want you to be thinking about it. So when the football game kicks off at 1 o'clock today, I want you to just take a minute and pray for the Village Church, pray for our mission trip team, pray for Pastor Bradley. And we're going to do that right now. They were online earlier this morning and watching the online service, and we prayed for them. But I know they're not watching at the moment because they're getting ready for game time, you know, church time, getting it all set up and for them. So let's pray for these guys right now. God, we thank you for the Village Church. We thank you for the vision and the passion that you put on Pastor Bradley Balfour and his wife Annie and their family. And God, we just pray for such a great morning as they launch their church. And we thank you that we have some people from here helping them out all weekend long in different ways. And God, we just pray that today will be a memorable day and where a church gets established in that community. And so God, we pray for safety and protection for our mission trip team as they travel home tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I want to talk about a fresh start. And I, when I was about 16 years old, my grandparent took me, you know, to Greenville, South Carolina, to go see my uncle graduate from college. And while we were there, my grandparents told me about a place where the donuts melt in your mouth. And I'm like, and I said, Grandma and Grandpa, you have to take me to this place. And they said, well, you only want to go there when the hot donut light turns on. And sure enough, we went to the place and the light was on, and with the Krispy Kreme donut. And it changed my life. Somebody just like, say amen. I see that amen over there. This is heaven on earth. I mean, I think this is where it is, right here. And I just remember being exposed to Krispy Kreme donut for the very first time, and it was so good. And then I went to Pensacola, Florida, as a college student, and guess what they had? They had a Krispy Kreme donut. And I made regular trips I mean, we were on first name basis. I walk in and the manager, you know, that ran the place that night, you know, I don't really know her name. It was an African-American lady. I just called her Sweetie. I said, "Hey, Sweetie." And she said, "Hey, Scott, how you doing?" I said, "Good." And she said, "I know why you're here." I said, "That's right." And she would, without asking, she would bring out a box of donuts. And a box is a dozen donuts, but she was stacking up like sideways. And me and my friend, we were, you know, I was 150 pounds. So we were just down these donuts. And she said, "We'd like some milk." I said, "Sweetie, that would be nice." And Sweetie would bring us some milk. And then she would only charge us like 50 cents, maybe a quarter, and just, you know, to put something in the cashier. And she was just awesome. And then in 2019, they finally put a Krispy Kreme in our area. And you know, now I don't need it as much as I did back then, so we don't make regular trip there. I'm not on a first name basis. But I can't help but say that every time the light comes on, they're driving by, there's a gravitational pull. My car just does it. I don't know why it does. It just pulls into the parking lot. You know, and now they have an app, and they can tell you when the light is on. Isn't that great? I mean, technology is wonderful. You know, and you can go. And when I go, I just love part of the experience is watching them make the donut. You know, you see the donut, the dough being created and rising, and then at some point it gets dropped literally into a river of grease. And they're floating down this grease, and it's cooking, and at some point they flip it, you know, and then it goes through the nice, sweet, you know, waterfall of icing. And it gets drenched right into that little waterfall, and then it comes out under a conveyor belt, and eventually it finds its way into a box, and then it goes out from there. And as I think about today's message, what it means to have a fresh start, I think about, first of all, when it comes to a fresh start, and I'm going to make the Krispy Kreme connection in just a minute, just hang with me. But what it means to have a fresh start, I think about some of us who, first of all, need to become a Christian. You need to become a Christian. And what I mean about being a Christian, and I'm not talking about being a Baptist Christian or a Methodist Christian or a Lutheran Christian or a Catholic Christian. What I'm saying is that being a Christian is not being connected to a religion, right? It's being connected to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that there are some here this morning, you have been testing the pools of salvation. You've been dipping your toe, and you've been checking it out. You've been coming to Lake Point, right, for a little while, and you're hearing about Jesus, and you're just kind of like just putting your toe in just to test the waters. And I'm here to say today, at some point, I'm going to encourage you, maybe even today, I'm going to encourage you that, hey, it's time to stop testing the waters and it's time to jump in. It's time to jump in the pool of grace, the pool of salvation. And at some point, you have to make the decision. But then as we continue on to this idea of becoming a Christian, once you become a Christian, the first thing you're to do is to go public with the decision that you made. You are to be immersed in the sweetness of baptism. To be immersed. You're to be immersed, but it doesn't stop there. From there, you're brought into a local church. You become a part of that church. Become connected with that church. You don't just sit there with the other donuts and rot. You know, you share the bread of life because you have received the bread of life. And that's what it means to live the Christian life. And every time I talk about baptism, every time we deal with it, there are questions. And so today I want to hit some of the popular questions about baptism. But before we get there, I want to look at a verse that Jesus shared. This is called the Great Commission. And he said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Let me stop here for a second. I want to say that first we're to make disciples. And oftentimes we equate disciples with the word decision. The Bible doesn't say to go make decisions of all nations. It said to make disciples. For sure, it's a decision that gets the ball rolling. But the end game for every person is not just a decision that they made, but it's a growing, walking, and becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's the end game for every person here. That there's a decision when you jump in the pool. You decide, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to trust that Jesus, who's in the water, he's going to catch me. And I put my faith in that. I make that decision, but then you don't stay in the shallow end with your floaties on. At some point, you got to go deep. You got to take off the spiritual floaties. You know, you got to take them off, you know, and start going deep with, and go deeper in your walk with God. And so we're to be disciples. But notice the rest of the verse, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was challenging the followers, the new Christians, to challenge new believers to get baptized, to get boxed up in the local church. And that's what a disciple is, someone who shares their bread with others, someone that's going deeper in their walk with God. And so we are to be marked when we go public by baptism. I remember my story of my salvation in October 14, 1982. I was 7 years old. And I grew up in church. I mean, I grew up in a church where, you know, the baby wore suit and ties. I mean, come on. And a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, that's how we roll. But I grew up and went to Sunday school class and I heard about Jesus. Every time the church door was open, we were there. I heard about Jesus over and over and over again. And when I was 7 years old, I go to my parents. And I said, Mom and Dad, I think I need to be a Christian. And I thank God for that. I thank God that my parents didn't make me a Christian. Right? They didn't say, hey, you got to do this. No, they waited for me to come to a realization of a truth. That I was a sinner, and that I needed Jesus to come into my life. And so on that Thursday night, about 8 o'clock at night, my parents took me to my bedroom, knelt beside my bed on my little itty-bitty knees, and I asked Jesus in a little simple word of prayer to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, and to make me a new person in Jesus. And then I was saved. I became a Christian. And then my parents said, God, at some point you're going to think about baptism. Again, they didn't force me to get baptized, right, you know, but I was like, well, what can I get baptized this Sunday? I said, I'm sure that's not a problem. Called the church, and the church said, we love to baptize God. That'd be great. And so that Sunday morning on October 17th, 1982, right, I went forward. In that church, they took me up to the baptismal area. And I changed. I had a nice little robe on. And I was scared. I mean, you know, I was shaking. And that pastor, he comes by me and says, God, you ready to do this? And I started crying a little bit. I got a little weepy. I said, I'm a little scared. The pastor said, hey, God, can I pray with you? I said, yeah, that'd be great. He prayed with me, and after he prayed, it was like my fears went away. I said, God, you ready? He said, I'm ready. Wipe up my tears, you know. I'm ready to do this. And then we went down, and I'll never forget, he baptized me on that morning. And that's my spiritual story. It's not as flashy as Sam Hornets, or, you know, I've had my mafia friend. You know, I mean, he got a real story. I mean, he was in prison, okay? You know, his life was on the line. You know, there were mafia people that were going after him. And thank God for his conversion story. My story isn't his story. My story is my story. And at the end of the day, my story is God's story. And my story that I just shared, about 95% of people in this room could probably relate to. And it's an incredible story of God's amazing grace who can still save, because every story is an awesome story of transformation and is a miracle of new birth. And so that was my story. And today, I want to share, I hope that some of you would lean in. Perhaps that today you need to make a decision to jump in the pool of salvation. Maybe you've been in a pool. You've received Christ, but you've never got baptized. And so I want to answer some questions today. Maybe we can help you out here. Number one, the first question is the belief question. The belief question. Does baptism clean up my spiritual life? And some people think, well, you know, baptism is kind of like spiritual chloros. You're a sinner, right? You're a moral failure. But then when you get baptized, when you get out of the water, you're completely clean. And according to Scripture, that's not how it works. Nothing special about the water. In fact, the water doesn't forgive me. The water doesn't cleanse you or me of my sins or your sins. It just doesn't work that way. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace, remember, grace is God giving you what we don't deserve. It's God's unconditional love. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. There's not a drop of water mentioned in this verse. And then he says, this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by work, not something that you can earn. Salvation is not, hey, you got to do a bunch of things. Salvation is simply receiving the gift of salvation. And he said, I meet people all the time, he said, you know, Scott, I've been baptized. I just want you to understand this. Just because a religious leader, a pastor or a priest, baptized you, sprinkled you, poured water on you, dunked you, it does not mean that you are a follower of Jesus. Here's what baptism, I love this definition, I've used it all the time. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward commitment. Outward symbol of an inward commitment. This December, my wife, in the first service, I had to do the math, but now I got to figure it out, okay? But this December, my wife and I would have been married 23 years. 23 wonderful years. That's right. And we stood before families and friends, and we said our I do's, and then we had the ring presented. I could take it off the first service. Got some butter on you? No, no butter? All right, here we go. By the way, after all these years of Krispy Kreme donut, the same size ring, same skinny finger, still fits, okay? Can't say that about anything else, but right here, still works. You know, if I were to give this ring to someone that's single, Tyler, come here, buddy. You know, Tyler's a single guy, right? You single? Yeah. So far? Okay. I know you have a girlfriend, right? Yeah. So far, you guys still like each other, right? Great, great. And you know, come, Tyler, come up here, Tyler. Give it up for Tyler. Tyler got my ring. Now, Tyler, you can put it on. Go ahead, put it on. It won't fit. You know, you got real. You need a lot of Krispy Kreme donut, don't you?
Too many.
Way too many. There you go. You know, now, did that make you married?
No.
Now, you're still a single man. You know, now, I took it off my finger. I'm married. Does that make me unmarried? No, so this is just a picture, right? It's just a picture of a decision, a commitment that I already made. This is just an outward symbol. By the way, Tyler, you're getting baptized on Sunday, aren't you? Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, right there. Good. Good job. Give it up for Tyler. That is how ludicrous it is to say that you're a Christian if you have been baptized. See, the wedding ring is just a symbol, a picture of an inward commitment. So the second question is I call it the attorney question. The attorney question. You know, attorneys, man, they know how to ask great questions, don't they? Oh, man. They ask powerful questions. They know, inquisitive questions. They go deep. They ask questions to trip you up, to put you in traps, especially if you're on the opposite side. I mean, they ask questions to put, you know, they try to trap you in questions, argue this side and that. You know, some people, they say this about baptism. Technically speaking, Scott, do you really have to be baptized to be a Christ follower? Technically speaking. That's a great question. Technically speaking, you become a Christian just like I said in the first question. You get saved, you become a Christian by faith in Jesus, Christ alone. Remember when Christ was dying on the cross, right? He was on the cross for, you know, dying on the cross, and one of the criminals next to him. He said, hey, you know, I believe that you're the Son of God. Jesus did not say to the thief on the cross, hey, you better jump off the cross and get baptized, or there's no deal. He didn't pour that on him. Instead, Jesus said, from this day forward, you will spend eternity with me in paradise. So technically speaking, we are saved by grace through faith, the gift from God. But if we are able physically, we should get baptized. And when we get baptized, we are going public. We are coming out of the shadows, right? And we're saying, here I am. I am walking, you know, to the beat of a different drummer. I'm on God's team. I'm a new person in Christ. In fact, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, it commands us to be baptized. We are to obey. We are to, in obedience, follow Jesus in baptism, believer's baptism. So yes, you don't get baptized to be a Christian. However, getting baptized is your first faith test as a Christian. I love what Washman Nee, famous missionary in China, he said this, baptism is faith in action. And so Christ, he challenged us, he commands us through his word to be baptized. So I'm saying, don't put it off. For many here, not getting baptized after you become a believer, it can be a major spiritual breakdown in your life because you're not following him in obedience in the Lord's command. Now that brings us to another question. I call this the H2O question. The H2O, how should I be water baptized? Should I be sprinkled? Poured? You know, do some flips in the pool? Canyon ball? Immerse? How you do it? I want to look at the word baptism, and you see this word over and over. The word baptism in the New Testament, it's in the Greek word. It's simply the word baptizo. That's how you say it. Baptizo, get the word baptism. And it actually had a double meaning, and I think it's a very powerful double meaning here. First of all, it simply means, number one, to be dunked, to be immersed. The second definition of the word baptism means to be identified with. To be identified with. Now, this is great. I love these two words. I love the two definitions because back in ancient times, in ancient history, you know, if you were a female in your house, you had one color. That color is basically the color that you're sitting on, that burlap brown look, right? That burlap brown, that was it. You had burlap brown curtains. You had burlap brown tablecloth. You had burlap brown outfits. Everything was just plain old brown. And then someone came up with a manufacturing idea and said, we're gonna baptizo burlap brown cloth into dye. And all of a sudden, in the female household, you know, they lit up. They said, oh, great. Now I don't have to stick with born brown. I can have purple. Then I can have hot pink. Right? We can have red, whatever color they wanted. And their manufacturing term was called baptizo. And what it was is they would take that burlap cloth or burlap, you know, material, and they would dip it into dye. They would dunk it. And then when it pulled out, it changed identity. It had a new identity. And I love how this works. And when we do a baptism, we're carrying those two ideas. We're dunking you, but then when you come out, you're saying, hey, I am a Christian. I have a new identity in Jesus Christ. When I put that wedding ring on, you know, I not was I single, solo, Scott Blanchard anymore that wanted to do life my way, the only way. I had no rules in the house. You know, I mean, when I was a bachelor, you know, I would grill steak almost every night. No sides. And then I cooked dinner one time for Karen, and I put a steak on a plate, and she's looking at me, and she's like, where's the sides? I said, sides? Who needs sides? You got steak. That's all you need. Can I hear an amen from all the men? Come on now. Y'all with me? There we go. I mean, come on. And Karen's like, no, we're going to get a can of green beans. And she goes and, you know, makes some green beans. And then we got married. And now I've been identified with vegetables. And all the other stuff that comes along with it. And I have a new life, a new purpose, a new role. When I got married, when I put the ring on, my identity changed. You know, before, I was a single man. I didn't have anything on my fingers. But now, hey, my identity changed. And when you get baptized, you say, hey, my identity, I'm on Christ's team. I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. We are identified with Christ in his death and resurrection. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him, you were raised to new life. See that identity? New life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. And when you get baptized, it's a picture of, hey, I believe that Jesus, he died on the cross for me. And when we put you under the water, that says, I believe that Jesus was put in a grave for me. And then when you come out of the water, I believe that Jesus rose again on my behalf. That's what you're saying when you get baptized. You believe, and it's a statement of your belief in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Now, if we were to do homework and study church history, Now, I'm not going to give you homework because I know none of you would do it. But if you were to study church history, you would notice that this idea of immersion, being totally dunk, was a universally accepted practice in the early church. In fact, Martin Luther, he's the founder of the Lutheran movement. Luther, he started off with the idea of immersion. Immersion. It's changed since then. But Luther was all about immersion. John Calvin, he started the Presbyterian Church. And believe it or not, he started off in the early church with the idea of immersion. In fact, Jesus modeled it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus' baptism. As soon as Jesus was baptized, notice the phrase, he went up out of the water. It doesn't talk about him being sprinkled or sprayed. You know, he came out of the water. New Testament believers, same idea. Acts chapter 8, verse 38. Look at the Ethiopian eunuch. He gave order to stop the chariot. He made a decision in that chariot, received Christ, became a Christian, and then he was like, hey, there's water. Right? So both Philip and eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him, and when they, notice the words, they came up out of the water. So every time someone was baptized in the New Testament, it was always by immersion. So there's no doubt about it. The whole thing was by immersion. That's the way we baptize. Here's the next question, the baby question. The baby question. And the baby question goes like this. Should we baptize infants, or is it more appropriate to baptize those who are mature enough to make the faith decision? That's the question. Now, let me say this. Whenever at Late Point Church, whenever we have a question at Late Point Church, we don't say, you know, what did culture say? That's not the question we ask. Well, we don't say, you know, what's the convenient thing to do? That's not what we ask. We don't say, you know, what's the cool way to do it? What's the cool thing? That's not what we ask. What we always ask, the very first question is, what does the Bible have to say? What does God's word say about the question? And here's what the Bible says about infant baptism. Not there. Every baptism in the Bible occurred when someone was old enough to make a faith decision. In fact, Matthew chapter 19, Jesus talked about kids. Jesus loved children. That scene where the disciples were kind of annoyed that all the kids were coming, Jesus said, don't suffer the little kids to come to me. Love the kids. But in that passage of scripture, you don't see Jesus baptizing kids. Nor did he tell someone to baptize the kids for him. None of that happened. And so here at Late Point, we have baby dedication. You know, around Mother's Day, that time period. You know, we packed the front of the church with parents and babies and the parents. This is what we're doing. Parents are they're saying at baby dedication or child dedication, hey, we're going to do whatever it takes to raise our kids, to rear our kids in Christ. You know, we're going to do whatever it takes to disciple our kids. We're going to pray that they come to a place in their life where they jump in that pool. By the way, don't push the kid. Don't push the kid in the spiritual pool. That doesn't, like I said, my parents didn't do that to me. You know, they would be in the water and say, come on, God, join us. They encourage us, but they never, you know, when it comes to salvation decision, and so we're praying for our mother, baby dedication, child dedication, we're praying for the parents to say, hey, lovingly guide your kids into the way of truth, into the way of salvation. And that's what we teach parents to do that. And so we don't baptize infants. Now, if you have been baptized as an infant, and I know many of you have, okay? From a biblical standpoint, I would challenge you to get rebaptized if you have made the faith decision. Now, if you were baptized as a baby, I just want you to know that was a spiritual moment for your parents. And I don't want to take that away from them. However, when you get baptized, when you understand it, then it becomes a spiritual moment for you. It becomes a moment that you can remember. Because as a baby, you don't remember it. It wasn't a spiritual moment for you. You're probably mad. Someone was pouring water on you. If you come to the point in your life where you have received Christ as an adult or as a teenager or children, I mean, I was 7 years old, well understood it, then get rebaptized. Rebaptized many people here, and a lot of them have been baptized as an infant, but they get rebaptized. Can I say this? We have never had one person, not one, not one person who has been rebaptized, who was baptized as an infant, who come and get rebaptized as a mature Christian, that someone that understands faith, right? They understand their faith decision that they made. I've never had one person that comes out of that baptism and say, man, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I never got rebaptized. I've not had that one time. In fact, every time, there's a moment of joy and celebration. And they're like, wow, this is my spiritual moment. This is when I went public and put the ring on in faith in Jesus Christ. And so, it's a biblical thing, right? Here's the last question, and I'm done. The mechanic question. When and how do I get baptized? Let's talk about when. We already kind of mentioned it, but it is when, after you made a faith decision. Not before, but after. In fact, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, in the early church, one of the very first church services, Peter preaching a message, and those who accepted the message of salvation, the Bible said they took the next step, and that was the next step of baptism. And about 3,000 were added to the number that day. That was a big baptism service day. 3,000 plus. So again, this is why we call it believer's baptism. So we encourage you to get baptized after you receive Christ as your Savior. Now here's the next question. How can I get baptized? I encourage you. Next Sunday is an opportunity. Opportunity for you to get baptized. But this is the last one that we're doing for 2024. That's not the last one we'll ever do at Lake Point Church. We'll keep doing it in 2025. You know, but maybe you're here and say, you know what, it's time. I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's time for me to take that next step of obedience and to get fully immersed in the sweetness of baptism. Mm-mm. That's right. And to let people know that you have been marked, you know, you have been marked by His love. You've been marked by His salvation. You're going public with your faith and say, hey, I am on God's team. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. And sure, sometimes fear gets in the way. Sometimes we kind of wig out a little bit, you know. And I get it. I was a little bit like that when I was 7 years old. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad because once I got in, I would kind of like zone in onto this moment. And I kind of, you know, I don't remember the people. This is my moment. And I went public. And it was an awesome, awesome feeling, an awesome day for me. And so I encourage you to do it. We do baptism, back to the how question, we do it here. We've done baptism in rivers and lakes. You know, we've done baptism in people's backyard. We've done that before and with small groups. When I was in Africa, we did it in the middle of Tanzania. And man, what a powerful, powerful service. I almost got baptized because I almost failed baptizing somebody, trying to get my footings. But man, I encourage you. Some of you have. In fact, since we started Lake Point Church in 2009, we have seen 311 people take their next step in baptism. And I encourage you next week, if you're on the fence, to jump in. There's a way you can do it. You can sign up on your connection card. In fact, there's a place on there if you've got questions. You want to talk to a pastor about salvation or baptism, it's on the back of your connection card. And someone this week, I promise you, they will call you this week and talk to you over the phone. In fact, my wife and I, we're meeting with a couple tonight just to talk about baptism. You know, and to answer any questions that they might have so that they have clarity of what they're doing, next Sunday. And so don't be afraid. Let us know, And if you're like, hey, I'm ready, you can do it on your connection card. There's a link right behind me. And say, I'm ready to get baptized. I'm ready to do this thing. You know, I've had several people after the first service say, hey, I'm ready to do it. It's time. Let's say it's time for you. Don't let fear get in the way. I want to close with a story. In a couple of weeks, my friend Irfan Abdulatif, it's been a while since he preached here at Lake Point. One of our missionaries that we support, he's a missionary in Iraq and in the Middle East and Egypt, and doing incredible, incredible ministry in dark, dark places, in areas that you and I could never go visit. But he's able to because he has a double citizenship, and God is using him in that way. And so he shares a story about a prominent man named, quote-unquote, named Sam. Sam's not his real name, but quote-unquote Sam. And Sam was in a city. He was the third most powerful person in this city, the city of over 1 million people in the middle of Iraq. And Sam, devout Muslim, came to saw that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, gave his life to Christ under Irfan's ministry. And then he said, I'm going to get baptized. And talk about boldness and courage to get baptized in Iraq. And then when you get baptized in Iraq and in the Middle East, I'm not saying it don't mean anything here, but you really, really, really mean it. Wife and two daughters denounced him, threatened to leave him. In fact, they left for a little bit. They came back, but still would not receive him that well. You can imagine how tense it was in the household. He lost his job. He was making, his salary was 10 times more than the average salary in Iraq. He lost it all. Lost his position, lost his influence. In fact, there were several times he had to leave the country for the safety of his own life. And one time, Irfan was with him. He said the last time he saw Sam, he was wearing old clothes, not been eating well. He was a man who had everything. He had a degree in physics and political science. Lost it all. Lost his job. They said that Sam remained faithful to Christ through it all. He stayed faithful to God. And he said when he saw him last, Sam gave Irfan a tract, gospel literature. A gospel literature that Sam wrote himself, and the tract was all about. The title of the tract, 10 Mistakes in the Quran That Are Corrected by the Bible. Instead, Irfan, he printed out a bunch of them and been passing them out to friends and family. Use that tract to prove that the Bible has not been corrupted like Muslim has claimed it to be. And this is what Irfan said. Irfan looked at him and said, Sam, you know that this could get you in a lot of trouble, big trouble. And this is what Sam said to him. What trouble do I have left? Somewhere in the middle of Iraq, in the Middle East, the man named Sam, whose life has been eternally and forever changed. He took that next step in believer's baptism. The sweetness of that baptism got brought into a local church. Now he's sharing the bread of life in the most dangerous parts of our world because he's not ashamed of who Jesus is. My friend, I encourage you this week, this time. God, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that for those who are still wrestling with this idea of baptism, biblical baptism, I pray that they take that next step. If not next week, soon, in the new year, 2025. But God, I pray that they take that decision and make it. Not be ashamed, not be afraid. God, we're super pumped for those who've already signed up. We're super pumped for those who are about to sign up to get into the water and to go public. Not ashamed, not embarrassed to say that we are on God's team. So God, help us today. Help us this week and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.